This is Focus West Michigan for Friday, April 17, 2026. I'm Joe Bilecki with your local news. Young adults are rarely invited to give input to elected officials and community leaders on policies that often impact how they live, learn, and grow. WGVU's David Limbaugh attended a forum on Friday that gives kids a chance to sound off.
Us having a seat at the table really impacts everybody and shows what we think about the rules being implemented. Our voices can impact our community positively when used.
Sani Shema is a senior at Grand Rapids University Preparatory Academy. He says attending this year's KidSpeak Forum is a chance for him and his fellow classmates to sound off on issues that are important to them.
Mainly about what's going on today, just affecting our students, just like the ICE impacts, what our teachers are getting paid, student retention, teacher retention. That's what really impacts our community.
Nearly 30 students spoke to 16 state, county, and city officials on a broad range of topics, including transportation, school funding, and community investment. Grand Rapids Mayor David LeGrand was a panelist.
I often say that politicians spend far too much time being nostalgic, saying, weren't the 80s great? Let's do that again. So forward thinking and being futurists is something we don't get enough of in politics. And these forums tend to be kind of futuristic. They tend to be forward looking.
KidSpeak happens through a partnership between the Michigan's Children Organization, the City of Grand Rapids, and Grand Rapids Public Schools. I'm David Limbaugh.
Love is growing. The Grand Rapids-based ice cream and chocolate business is expanding with new locations, partnerships, and a push into the wholesale market this year. WGVU's Dee Morrison reports.
Love's Ice Cream and Chocolates is moving beyond its 13-year home in the downtown market, opening a new scoop shop in Ada Village this spring with seating for 25, a paved outdoor patio, and 10 new employees.
It's a small little barn that's been updated and modernized, but it still has a lot of the old barn charm.
CEO Chris McKellar says Love's is also partnering with Acrisure Amphitheater, serving concertgoers with an on-site shop and through prepackaged ready-to-go cups at market stalls throughout the 12,000-seat venue.
It's beyond our wildest dreams of the kind of exposure that it'll give us with people being able to try our product who might not have tried it for the first time and know that if they want to come back, we're right around the corner from the amphitheater downtown.
McKellar also hints at plans to appear in major retail grocery freezers, leveraging his recent experience taking the Protein Pints brand national. McKellar will soon announce the location of a third West Michigan shop also in the works.
We're excited for the opportunity to get in front of more folks and hopefully bring a little bit of smiles and joy into their lives.
I'm Dee Morrison.
Hope Network will soon host its annual Bridge Walk for Autism. As WGVU's Jennifer Moss reports, hundreds of families, advocates, and community members will gather for an evening dedicated to inclusion and autism acceptance.
On Thursday, April 23rd, Hope Network will once again host its annual Bridge Walk for Autism. The community will gather at 5 p.m. on the Blue Bridge downtown. Hope Network officials say the event has become a signature West Michigan tradition. Last year, a record crowd, upwards of 2,000 participants, gathered in support of individuals and families affected by autism. They also say as awareness grows, so does the need for services. According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, autism now affects 1 in 31 children, underscoring the importance of accessible care and community support. Jamie Counterman, Hope Network's Chief Advancement Officer, says, quote, every step taken helps raise awareness and support services that empower thousands of individuals across Michigan, end quote. The evening begins with a walk across the Blue Bridge, then transitions into a sensory-friendly experience at the Grand Rapids Public Museum. Both the walk and museum event are free to attend. In case of severe weather, all activities will take place inside the Grand Rapids Public Museum. I'm Jennifer Moss.
With only 10% of former foster youth nationwide graduating from college, scholarships are a way students can beat the odds and earn a college degree. As WGVU's David Limbaugh tells us, a record-breaking night at Grand Rapids JW Marriott raised over $50,000 for foster youth.
According to the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services, there are close to 10,000 youth in Michigan's foster care system. The Fostering Future Scholarships Trust Fund provides former foster care youth with financial resources to attend Michigan colleges and universities. This academic year, over 470 students at 64 institutions received support. The Making a Difference Gala brought in over $50,000 for the Fostering Future Scholarships Trust Fund, $10,000 more than last year. Nearly 200 attended the event organized by the MDHHS and the Michigan Education Trust. According to a study by the University of Connecticut, it's estimated between 69 and 85% of students who have experienced foster care in the U.S. complete high school by their mid-20s, but only 8 to 11% go on to earn a post-secondary degree. That's 5 times lower than the national average. You can find more information or donate online at fosteringfutures-mi.com. I'm David Limbaugh.
The Riverfront expansion is now open at the Grand Rapids Public Museum, offering a transformed public space along the Grand River downtown. WGVU's Dee Morrison reports.
The Grand Rapids Public Museum's Riverfront Transformation Project is part of its expanding curiosity mission, taking learning beyond gallery walls outside to the riverbanks. The improvements offer an outdoor classroom, river overlooks, hands-on environmental exhibits, improved access to the river's edge, and connectivity to the Grand River Greenway, an 85-mile non-motorized trail system. Museum President and CEO Dale Robertson spoke at Thursday's opening event about truly inclusive public spaces.
As opposed to having one place for the wheelchairs, you have multiple spots. It is a unique design, which gives that agency, because we have as a core mission accessibility, which means physical and cognitive accessibility.
The $50 million project, funded through public-private partnerships, includes renovation of the historic 1928 Spillman Carousel, which reopened in February after a multi-year restoration. The carousel now features a specialized chariot and ramp, allowing guests with mobility concerns to ride for the first time. A date for a public opening celebration will be announced soon. I'm Dee Morrison.
Coming up soon, WGVU's Scott Vanderwerf has the preview of this weekend's new films, but first, news from around the state. The Michigan legislature is going to work on budget bills. The Senate Appropriations Committee voted along party lines on Thursday to advance several budget bills to the floor. We have more from Rick Pluta.
The bills would fund some state departments, public universities, and community colleges. Democratic Senator Sarah Anthony chairs the Appropriations Committee. She says revenue is tighter this year, but she hopes to adopt a balanced budget without raising taxes.
Folks are hurting right now, and so for us to start conversations with new taxes doesn't seem like a place that our members want to start.
Republican House Speaker Matt Hall says he does not want to tap into the state's rainy day savings to balance the budget, which is part of Governor Gretchen Whitmer's proposal. Lawmakers are anxious to avoid a repeat of last year, when negotiations dragged past the October 1st budget deadline and left schools and many local governments starting their fiscal years not knowing what to expect from the state. I'm Rick Pluta.
A Michigan bill to keep utility rates steady for 3 years at a time received a state Senate committee hearing on Thursday. Colin Jackson has more.
Right now, utilities can ask regulators to approve a rate increase every 12 months. If regulators don't decide within 10 months, a utility's full request gets automatically granted. Democratic State Senator Kevin Hertel says that's not enough time for the public to weigh in and have regulators properly decide. He says a 3-year system would be fairer.
We're cramming everything into 10 months. It doesn't allow for the proper planning. I don't think it gives the people of our state a true voice in the process. It's not transparent.
The state's biggest utilities didn't weigh in during the committee meeting, but DTE Energy, the largest electric provider in the state, says it's mindful of how its rate increases affect its customers. I'm Colin Jackson in Lansing.
Focus West Michigan is brought to you by listeners like you. To support this show and everything we do here, visit WGVUnews.org and click the donate button. And for a weekly dose of news right to your inbox, sign up for the WGVU newsletter. Lee Cronin's The Mummy is a new modern take on the monster movie tradition. Bob Odenkirk returns to action in Normal. Lauren is a behind-the-scenes documentary on the creator of Saturday Night Live. And Mile and Kicks is a bright new romantic comedy. WGVU's Scott Vanderwerf and Zach Rigetti from Studio C break it all down in this week's Movie Talk.
And we have Lee Cronin's The Mummy. And there have been so many mummy films that I grew up with back in the 1960s and 70s, watching the old black and white films that were made in the 30s and the 40s and the 50s. And then obviously the Brendan Fraser big blockbuster films from 20 plus years ago. So what are you hearing about Lee Cronin's The Mummy, and who is Lee Cronin?
Yeah, this, I'll tell you this, is not your Brendan Fraser The Mummy. And don't forget, there was also the Tom Cruise Mummy reboot from like 2015 or whatever as well.
I totally forgot about that.
Everyone else did as well. It's okay. Lee Cronin directed Evil Dead Rise in 2023. And so he's sort of on the horror front of this. But yes, this is sort of like a reimagining of the Mummy franchise. It's not part of like Universal's Monster Universe. It's coming from Warner Brothers. It's not even like obviously tied to any other Mummy property ever, you know, created out there. So this is sort of like literally just sort of a fresh take on the Mummy. It follows sort of this journalist and his family, and their daughter goes missing, and she's gone for like 8 some years. And she shows back up. They found her, but she's been mummified, and they do. This is like one of those, you know, like horror film tropes where it's like they do something that I would just like never do, which is like they're like, you know, bring her home, try to make, you know, everything, get everything back to normal, but also try to figure out like why their daughter's been missing for so long.
Well, this doesn't make sense to me because a mummy is a dead person that his corpse has been preserved through a certain technique. They're not alive.
Well, she's alive when they find her.
As a mummy. Okay.
And yeah, so obviously, you know, these parents care a lot for their daughter. And they want to know where she's been. She, along with like, they found her with, I think it's like 30 some other individuals as well in the site that they find. So there's like this little bit of like, mystery and going down sort of the rabbit hole of you know, who are all the rest of the people, how did she get, you know, how did she disappear
and
in the first place,
who
did this, all while their daughter is now also kind of like wreaking havoc on family and friends now because they've like just invited her back into their home. So yeah, this is sort of like the gory version of the Mummy, you know, back. So, you know, and coming from, you know, Evil Dead Rise, like that one was also very, I think the tagline for that was like Mommy's Home or something like that, which was like very similar in the fact of like a mom, I think, was gone and then sort of appears, you know, back. And there was like a lot of, there's a family aspect to Evil Dead Rise that I can just sort of see transitioned straight into, you know, this film.
Well, Michigan's own Sam Raimi was the creator of Evil Dead and was the executive producer of all the Evil Dead films. Is he also involved with this film? Is he a producer?
I don't know that he is, but I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if he was, but not on this one specifically.
All right, and we also have a new Bob Odenkirk action film, and it's called Normal.
Yeah, it's Normal, not to be confused with Nobody 1 or the Nobody 2, the second movie, the Nobody franchise. It's also very like in line with the Nobody movies, but yeah, Bob Odenkirk, you know, known for Better Call Saul and sort of stepping in, you know, the Nobody franchise was sort of like this new step for him and like the action movie franchise genre. And this sort of hits those same beats. So he is sort of a cop close to retirement and decides to pick up a job in this little town called Normal, Minnesota. And it's sort of, I think that's kind of the joke, is that this town is a lot more than just normal. There's a bank that's got just tons of money running through it. Like all of the people in the town seem to be for the most part happy, but he like, you know, starts his job by taking care of like little cases of like, you know, two neighbors kind of like bickering back and forth with each other and all that stuff, to the point where eventually the bank gets hit. And he sort of has to step up, but also maybe like step back into his past self, who he was or wherever he came from, which I'm sure you'll learn about along the way.
Is this also like a comedy as well?
It seems like it is like sort of this action comedy. It has very like, I atone it to like Hot Fuzz vibes.
That's what I was thinking about.
Yes. Like it feels like very down the same pattern of like, are we going to get through this movie? And it turns out that like, you know, half of the population in this little town are actually the ones involved in the whole thing type of thing. But I mean, it just looks like a fun wild ride. And if you liked the Nobody movies, if you like Bob Odenkirk, you're going to like this movie.
Also, we've got a documentary, Lorne, the only Lorne Michaels documentary, the creator of Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, they're saying this. I mean, I don't think Lorne has done any other sort of documentary. And there's like the joke in the trailer for this where they say it's the last documentary, and then, you know, scribble out last for the only documentary that you'll ever have with Lorne Michaels. But yes. I mean, it's incredible the passion that he has for the industry, how he created Saturday Night Live. I mean, there was a movie like 2 years ago called Saturday Night Live, which was like all about the launch of the first episode of Saturday Night Live. And then how many actors have launched their careers through Saturday Night Live, but also like how involved Lorne is in the entire process. For all Saturday Night Live and for all the past 50 years. And so I think this will just be a really fun documentary to watch. Like, again, there's so many people. You can pretty much name, any random actor, and they've probably either worked with Lorne or came through Saturday Night Live.
The only thing I would say is that if Lorne Michaels was involved in the production of this film, it's probably not the only Lorne Michaels documentary that's going to happen, because at some point there's going to be one that's going to be made outlets outside in terms of not allowing him to have the final say on the cut.
Fair enough.
Also, we've got Mile End Kicks, which stars Barbie Ferreira, who recently now Euphoria back on TV screens. And what is Mile End Kicks? This sounds like an action film.
It's actually not. It's more of like a rom-com. She is sort of, it's a little coming of age. She's just kind of like trying to figure out what the next thing in her life is, kind of like, you know, hitting sort of the dry end of the pool and just trying to figure out what's next. And she meets a band, like this indie band, and becomes their publicist, but then also falls in love with not only one but two of the band members while sort of going on tour with them. You know, we sort of referenced Hot Fuzz earlier. This is sort of like, it feels like an Almost Famous in a way, where she just like is on a path of self-discovery, but then also, mingling with the band and learning the ropes on the tour, but also, figuring out a relationship or how to navigate two at the same time, or, you know, just trying to figure out which one she wants to choose. It's sort of this love triangle piece to that. But looks just like a wonderful film.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us, Zach.
Yeah, thanks, Scott.
This has been Focus West Michigan from WGVU for Friday, April 17, 2026. I'm Joe Bilecki. Our audio operations manager is Rick Buehrling, and our news and public affairs director is Patrick Center. Don't forget to like and subscribe, and we'll be back with more news and events in West Michigan on Monday. Thanks for listening.